Tell me the Tony Bennett story.
Well, the Tony Bennett story, that's an interesting story because when we were running, and Ray Muscarella, does that ring a bell with you, Ray yeah. Muscarella? He used to own the Rancho Grande okay. up there. Well, anyhow, so he was one of our regular summer guests. They, like the LaDucas and the Arachettis, they would stay the whole summer.
The owner of the Rancho Grande stayed at the lodge?
Well, he sold it. It was sold.
Oh, okay.
And, mm-hmm. and so, nice guy, Ray.
Ray Muscarella.
So he used to spend, Teresa, his wife, and his two kids.
They spend the whole summer?
They spend the whole summer.
So you had guests like that? They, what, 2 months? They'd come right?
Yeah, well, the Arachettis, the LaDucas,
wow,
the Modicas, Benny Chacho, and we had this clientele, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the families would stay all summer, but they'd come up weekends, you see. They go back and work.
The husbands would go back.
The husbands
right.
would go
yeah.
back. And Joe Arachetti went back to his meat business. Ray Muscarella went back to whatever he did. Well, he's in trucking,
yeah.
you know. And, well, anyhow, this one time, right in the beginning of one season, 1950, it was the first year we built the Imperial Room. And we used to have Danny Saraceno band come in and play Saturday night.
Wow.
We had our dance, you know. And I was a bug on that. I used to insist that we have Jacket dress up on Saturday nights. We had a lot of opposition to that. But I felt Saturday night was important that you have to wear a jacket.
To the dining room?
To come to the dance, the Saturday night dance.
Oh, it's the dance, okay.
Just a dance, yeah. Yeah. And so anyhow, we had Danny Saraceno and his band, you know. And so Ray Muscarella come to me. In the beginning of the season, he says, I got this young kid. He's a singer. His name is Joe Barry. He says, I bring him up here weekends. You don't charge me for him. You don't charge
him to stay.
Him to stay. I won't charge you for him to sing. It was a barter. It was a barter system.
Okay.
I said, well, that makes sense to me, Ray. You know, okay, sure. You know, We made the deal. So he'd bring Tony up with him every weekend, or Joe Barry.
Mm-hmm.
And he had another guy, a comedian, Kenny Bates. Kenny Bates was his name. And so they would book him up, and Kenny was the funny, he'd do a skit, you know. Tony would sing with the band all night long.
Wow.
And then when we were done, about 2 o'clock in the morning, Tony and I used to go to Rhoda Rahm's, the two of us, and all we drink was Coke, you know, but we used to go there, and the nightclub. So anyhow, so I said, okay, good deal, and he came and he sang every weekend for us, spent the whole weekend, and he was just a nice guy, you know, and I remember he made his first record, his first demo record. He made a demo, and they bring it up this weekend. Little disc. Oh, I wish I could find it.
Yeah.
The first record he ever made, and the song on it was Boulevard of Broken Dreams on one side, and on the other side was Veni Qui, was the name of the song. It was an Italian song, and he really did a good job with it. But anyhow, so we put it on the jukebox, and here we are. Benny Chacho, Joe Arachetti, Doc Monica, we're all around listening. We want to hear this song that Ray Muscarella brought up, you know. And Tony was there. And it's playing, and he's singing. And I'm sort of in the background a little bit, and I'm thinking to myself, nah, he'll never make it. I swear to God, he'll never make it, you know. Well, anyhow, that's history. And
do you remember where he stayed?
Yeah, with Ray Muscarella.
Yeah, remember what room he was in that summer?
It was in the 5-room bungalow because they used to have the 2 rooms.
Okay. Oh, there you go.
And 1 room.
5-room cottage. So
maybe we threw the cotton with the kids or something. I don't know. And he played baseball with us, and I put him out in right field because he was lousy.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, now the season is drawing to an end, and he says, Ray says to me, I'm going to get him on national television. I'm getting some exposure. He said, I would like for you to go down as the owner of Meadowbrook as the interviewer with Robert Q. Lewis. And I says, oh, God, televisions, we had a 10-inch screen back in those days, you know. I says, sure, Ray, I'd be glad to, you know. So we arranged that we were going to go on this show. We were going to meet with Robert Q. Lewis and do a little interview, a little rehearsing and whatnot. And so we went down there to the RCA building in New York, and this is all big. Tony, he was just a kid himself. And we're all both excited about this whole thing. And we go up to the 90th floor, whatever it was, in the RCA building, meet with Robert Q. Lewis, this big star. Do you remember him?
No.
He had big horn-rimmed glasses.
Before my time. So he was a TV show host?
He was, oh, yeah. Robert Q. Lewis was famous.
And he was an interviewer?
He was there. He was his show. Robert Q. Lewis's The Show Goes On. And his show was to introduce young talent to nightclubs or resorts or whatever, you know. So anyhow, we go down and we're sitting in his office talking to him, you know. And when the interview is over, we're going down the elevator. And Tony Bennett, or Joe Barry at the time, says to me, Frank, look who's on the elevator. And I said, where? He says, it's Perry Como. And I said, Tony, wouldn't it be something if one day you could be like that? Never thinking it would happen, you know. But wouldn't it be something? So, now, we didn't want to come all the way back to Newburgh because we had to be there the next night for the show, you know. So what we do, we go to Aunt Anna's house in Jamaica. I bring her, hey, Aunt Anna, this is a friend of mine, Joe. He, you know, he's a singer. And we're going to be on Robert Q. Lewis's show tomorrow night, you know. And we've had no money. He had no money. I made a deal that whatever money the studio paid us, I gave it to Tony, you know. So she says, yeah, okay, Frank, you know upstairs. So Tony Bennett, we go upstairs, and a mattress on the floor, and that's where we slept.
In the attic. Yeah.
In the attic. And then the next day we go down, we had to have a blue shirt because back in those days, television, whatever for the
reason. Oh, for the black and white.
For the black and white.
Certain shades,
yeah.
Right.
And we get there, and I'll never forget this guy by the name of Art Kahn. He was the social director or director of entertainment of the Neverly Hotel. And he's going to go on before me and Tony, and he's there, and I'm watching from the green room in the back, you know, the big screen. And all of a sudden, Ally says, holy God, what the hell am I doing here? It was fun up until that point, but now I'm going to be a live audience, national television. I'm going to be out, me, Frank Cavallari, you know. So I'm watching this guy, Art Kahn from the Neverly. I said, look how calm he is. Look, he's handling it like nothing, you know. And I'm getting more and more nervous. In fact, the producer came by and he looks at me and says, I'm a little worried about you. I said, yeah, that's all I need is encouragement, you know. So now, this Art Kahn, he interviews the girl. I remember she sang Old Black Magic. And now it's my turn to go out. And now from Newburgh, New York, the Meadowbrook Lodge, the owner, blah, blah, blah. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. Frank Cavallari. The band plays, the curtain's open, and I fainted.
I always
put that in the story, and everybody goes, what?
Did you faint?
No.
Oh, you had me go, oh.
I have everybody going. They all, anyhow, so I go out there, and oh my goodness, if he said you want to sing a song, I could have. It was the apprehensive, you know. Yeah. We get out there, we start talking. I went off the script a little bit, and he said, what? And we were joking back and forth, you know. And well, anyhow, I got this nice young man, Mr. Joe Barry, you know. He'll come out, and you have the option. He used to light a Ronson cigarette lighter. If it lit, he would give it to you. If it didn't light, he kept it or something. I don't know. He was advertising Ronson cigarette lighters. And he said, I have this nice young man. His name is Joe Barry. He's going to perform, and you have three options. If you hear him singing, you can have the option of you'll think about it, no, I don't want to hire him, or you'll hire him. And that was the three options we had.
Now, who's going to hire him? The lodge?
Yeah, whoever, the interviewer, the Neville.
Well, you're bringing him.
Huh?
You're bringing him. He was already working at the lodge.
Well, but they didn't know.
Oh, that's the setup. Oh,
that's the setup. The national didn't know all this. You know?
All right.
So, I never met him before in my life, you see. And so anyhow, I go out there, and all of a sudden the band plays. They bring out Joe Barry, and he sings, and he does a hell of a job with Boulevard of Broken Dreams. Wow, the crowd clapped and everything, and now the thing comes back to us. Well, what do you think, Frank? He used to call me Frank. You know, he said, what do you think, Frank? You know, you have the options. What do you think you'll do? I said, he's great. I'm going to hire him. And he went and clapped. Now, after the show is over, you know, we go down to the stage door entrance, and you know that. And all these girls are down there waiting for him. Okay. It was Joe Barry. It wasn't Tony Bennett. He was nothing.
But he was on TV.
Yeah. So this is a big thing for me because you'd see this in movies, you know. So here he is signing autographs, and I step about maybe from here to that wall away. And all of a sudden, about 10 or 12 come running over to me. I was on TV. Right. They want my name. It's, get out of here. I'm nobody. Yeah, you were on television.
You're a producer.
So I wrote it, and I could just see them go through their book later on. Who the hell's Frank Cavalier? Right. Rip it out and throw it away. So now we go down Broadway. He's got 10 girls on one arm, like on both arms. Kenny Bowers has 10 girls on each arm, and I got 10 girls on each arm. We get to a bar, and we went inside, but the girls had to stay outside. You know?
Yeah.
So it was quite an experience. And it wasn't too long after that he made Because of You. And that was that should be his signature song. He made Because of You, and you know it was instant
success. Did that launch him? Was that his big...
No, but back in those days, he had Boulevard of Broken Dreams, Cold, Cold Heart, but he made Because of You, and that put him over the top. And I would meet him in New York, and we'd go plugging DJs. Him and I would plug his record. So I was really connected with the guy, you know, for a while.
Do you remember what year that was with the show?
Yeah, it was in 1950.
And is that the same year he sang at the Lodge?
Yes.
The same year?
Yeah, it was the year we built the new room, the Imperial
Room. Imperial
Room,
yeah.
And
1950.
And from there on, now another part of the story is, like, now Because of You, you make him getting popular. And he went and did a show with Bob Hope. Bob Hope had him on his show, and... it was Bob Hope who said to him, what is your real name? He says, Anthony De Benedetto. He said, this is Joe Barry. He said, why don't you change your name? You take your first name, Anthony, Tony De Benedetto, Tony Bennett. That's how it was born.
Bob Hope named him.
And then he was getting more and more popular. It was just going on and on. And then now he's going to be on the Perry Como show. And Alfred, my heart was just as big as this. I says, wouldn't it be something? And wouldn't it be something you could be like that one day? And here he is, a guest of Perry Como's. Can you imagine that?
Cool deal.
What a story.
Yeah.
What a story.
Find that record someplace.
And I showed you the movies from here.
That's right.
You know, he was here. We sat on the balcony there.
That was fun.
Reminiscing. We were reminiscing all that stuff. Aunt Anna's bedroom of attic. You know, Robbie Q. Lewis show and all that. You know. So anyhow, that's Tony Bennett.